13. A Stronger Woman. Inside the fiacre, Octavia's eyes moved from the window to her pocket watch and back. They had asked the driver to stop at an alley where they had a good view of the whole bureau. The building and grounds looked to be quiet, guards standing upright at their posts. No alarms had sounded since Modo had disappeared into the building. They spoke in hushed tones.
"Remind me how long you expected this little adventure to last?"
"According to my calculations," said Colette, "it would take Modo 3 minutes to enter the building, 4 minutes to reach Kant's office, less than a minute to pick the lock. He'll need at least 10 minutes to find the proper files. Then he has to retrace his path back to the gate. Therefore, I estimate 25 minutes, though we should allow him at least 10 minutes leeway."
30 minutes have passed," Octavia said.
"Any moment now he should be walking out that door."
"You care about him deeply, don't you?" Colette said.
Octavia was about to say something glib, but when she saw the look on the young woman's face, she fell silent. Colette seemed sad, even forlorn. As much as Colette's question made her bristle, she couldn't help admitting,
"I do. There are few like him."
"There are none like him," Colette replied. "I've never met anyone I was so willing to trust. Not since. Well, my father was the only other man I trusted so completely."
"Your father?"
"He died in Japan, many years ago."
"I'm sorry to hear that."
"It is in the past.
And we cannot change the past."
Colette rubbed her fingers together nervously.
"Though perhaps we can atone for mistakes we have made. Perhaps."
Octavia was surprised at the candor in her voice, and the bitterness.
"I have no country to serve now.
Modo is my country. I must prove that I am worthy."
What kind of statement was that? Was she professing her love for Modo, or her allegiance?
"What do you have to prove to him?"
"Everything," Colette said. "I asked you once in Reykjavik if you had seen his face, his real face. You answered no.
Has that changed?"
"It's none of your business," Octavia said.
Colette's dark, exotic eyes, her prying words, her grip on Modo, these things were becoming such an aggravation.
"Well, I will make it your business. I was coy with you then. I said it was a matter of confidentiality. But the truth is, I have seen his face. I could not look at him for more than a moment without feeling an absolutely uncontrollable revulsion. He's such a brave man. He is, despite his occupation, guileless. And I rejected him. And it marked me."
Octavia found herself holding her breath. She'd had a similar feeling when she first saw Modo's real face. It was so different from what she had expected. So twisted, so raw, and not what he deserved. He was such a grand young man that he deserved to be beautiful.
"I too have seen it," Octavia admitted.
"And did you look away?"
"I did not."
She remembered that night in a Queensland rainforest, that moment, clearly. Every cell, every nerve, every instinct had been telling her to look away. Such ugliness. She'd wanted to touch his face, knowing the pain he'd felt his whole life, but could only put her hand on his shoulder. Colette grabbed Octavia's hand and squeezed it.
"You are a much stronger woman than me," she whispered. "You are so very brave. I could not look. I failed him. It is as simple as that. I am not accustomed to failure. I do not accept it. So how do you reverse this failure?"
"I must admit, I do not know.
Will he ever accept me as, well, as a friend? Will he accept my allegiance? He is my country. My country. Just being around him. You know what it is like. I envy you."
She paused.
"He must love you. You are so beautiful." I don't know."
They fell silent. The horses snorted outside. The fiacre creaked as the driver stirred in his seat, perhaps shivering in the cold. He would wonder what they were doing, but they'd been careful enough to cover their faces when they hired the carriage, so that he wouldn't be able to identify them. Only Modo had been visible, and he, of course, would soon look completely different. Did Colette really see him as her country? Did that mean she would fight for him? Octavia didn't understand her own feelings. In her way, she, too, had turned away from Modo's face. "It has been 40 minutes," Colette said, her voice steady now. "I fear that something has gone awry. What do we do? We don't even have an alternative plan. We cannot charge in there. He is a brave and clever man. He'll have to find his own way out. And once he does, we will be here to rescue him."